Thank you for coming in for this session. We're going to talk about Your Husband is Not a Do-It-Yourself Project. How many of you like do-it-yourself projects? Anybody here a fan of HGTV or Pinterest or, I'm telling you, Joanna Gaines has made us feel like we could go to Hobby Lobby and we could make our house the most beautiful thing ever. But women have always wanted to do stuff. Even before Pinterest and HGTV, women have wanted to nest, haven't we? And we like to fluff our nest to make our nest reflect our personality. And so we go places like Holly goes yard sailing and thrifting. I'm a big thrifter. We go places like Hobby Lobby, 60% off. Ladies, I have been to Magnolia. Anybody been to Magnolia? In Texas, Waco? Oh, yeah. Oh, my friend Eva, she's been to. Okay, so I've been to Magnolia, and this is what I would tell you. It's wonderful. It's sweet. It's a nice experience. Go to Hobby Lobby and get it 60% off. There you go. So that's what I would tell you about Magnolia. Anyway, we go to places like that, and we want to fluff our nest. And when we have our nest all fluffed, and we're just like, what else can I fix around here? Then our eyes light on that man. And for years, women have wondered how to fix that man, how to make him more like what we want him to do. Why doesn't he say this at the right time? Why doesn't he do this at the right time? Why doesn't he whatever? You know why? Because he's a guy. And they're totally different from us, aren't they? Absolutely. Do you know he is made in the image of God? And so are we. That's amazing to think about, isn't it? How that we can be so distinctly different, and yet both of us created in the image of God. I think God just gave each of us different strengths that he has. Leadership strengths for your husband. Loving and nurturing strengths for you. And the weaknesses that we have are not from the Lord at all. They're from our sin nature. But we turn our eyes on that man and we think, what can I fix about you? How can I manipulate this? How many of you like to watch I Love Lucy? I love I Love Lucy. I think she is hilarious. My mother reminds me of Lucy. She is totally Lucy, and my aunt is Ethel. I am not kidding. But anyway, Lucy and Ethel are always trying to fix Ricky and Fred, and it always backfires on them because Ricky and Fred know exactly what they're doing, and so it comes back to bite them every time. But we live in a culture that has gone way beyond Lucy and Ethel. We live in a culture that hates men. Honestly, they bash on men all of the time. And I think that men must be very confused. I know my boys are from time to time, because my boys know what it's like to hold a door open for a lady at a store and the lady to be like, ah, I can get my own door. Now, I have told my boys, it does not matter. You hold that door for her. If she wants to be, of like that, then you still be a gentleman. But if my boy stood back and was like, she's probably, you know, a fierce woman, I'm not going to do that, then what did they do? Oh, my word, rude. Didn't get my door. Girls want it both ways. And sometimes in our home, we want it both ways. And we swallow the lie of the culture that men are inept, that men can't do anything right. And we talk to our husbands like that. Well, you know what? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to learn that your husband isn't a do-it-yourself project at all. Now, this passage, honestly, if I were standing in certain audiences, I would be scared to death to read it. And even in Christian audiences, we can be a little confused because we are a product of our culture. We look at passages like this and we're like, are you kidding me? This has a word in it like subjection. If you're reading from the King James, it has a word like meek and quiet. if you know me, I'm not a very quiet person. And so I can measure myself against this passage and think, whew, I'm really failing. But we're going to talk about what all of that means. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, the first four verses. Can everybody hear me, first of all? If you can't hear at any time, will you just wave a hand at me and I'll try to get louder. But let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, I thank you so much for these ladies who came out an extra evening to hear from your word, and I appreciate that. Lord, it shows a heart that wants to learn and grow in their marriage, and I pray, Lord, that you will answer prayers that may be silently prayed from their heart. I have no idea what these ladies are going through, what their dreams and desires are for their marriage, what maybe their hurts are. Lord, I don't know, but you do. Lord, I don't know who in here is doing super, super well and is just coming for a little shot in the arm and encouragement, but you know them, and I pray that you'll give them that encouragement. Lord, I pray that you'll meet every need as you see fit. Lord, I pray that you will speak through me. Lord, I'm learning all of this. And so, Lord, I pray that your precious Holy Spirit will take over. May I sincerely and humbly present truth tonight, graciously, compassionately, in your name. Amen. This passage can be a little scary when you look at certain things, but I would like to highlight words like adorn. What about a word like an ornament? What about the words at the end of the passage, great price, meaning great value? The world may look at a passage like this and say, oh my word, are you kidding? Subjection to a man? No way. But we can look at this and see that God places great value in our not trying to fix our husbands. No. What does this passage even say about your husband? Not a lot. But what it does say is if your husband isn't obeying the Bible, the best bet of getting his attention is by you living the Christian life in front of him. Some people think that this only talks about husbands that are unbelievers. I think it applies to any man who's not obeying the word of God, whether he's saved or unsaved. Don't all of our husbands disobey the Bible from time to time? You know your husband. I'm married to the man who just spoke to you, and I will tell you, he is a godly man. When you see him in the pulpit, that's the same as he is as when he's in his house. It is. He is a godly man. He walks with God, but he's not perfect. Are there times where I want to fix Dave Young? You betcha. I wish I could, but I can't. This passage does not speak to them. It speaks to us. And praise Jesus. It's not saying you're a do-it-yourself project, because if I had to work on Bethley Young by myself, oh my word, I would be the biggest hot mess from here to Alabama. No, it's the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus in our lives and in our hearts. So what do we need to let God do? First of all, I would say let God adorn, because this is talking about adorning. Oh, goodness, I just put my whole packet in my notes. That's nice. Let God adorn your heart. We're going to talk about all the ways God can adorn us in our marriages to make us better wives. And first of all, I would say, let God adorn your heart. We get this in verses 1 and 2. And the Bible talks about in verse 1 that if your husband isn't obeying the word, pretty much you better be. So, girls, we have the word of God. Are you obeying it? Do you even read it so you know what it says so that you can obey it? Do you go to church and glean from all of the study that your pastor and your Sunday school teachers put in? Maybe you go to a lady's Bible study, all of the study that that lady has put into that Bible study so that you can glean from that. Do you put yourself, my daddy used to say, my daddy's in heaven, he used to say, put yourself in the word and under the word, meaning be in the word yourself every day, be under the word in church, in Bible study, in Sunday school, all of that. We have the word of God. Sometimes I think Christian ladies these days act like they have no idea what the word of God says beyond, I'm going to church and I sing in the choir. The word of God addresses a whole lot more than that. A whole lot more. Do you know what it says? And the Bible also says in verse 2 that your husband should behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now, we've heard a lot about the fear of the Lord if you've done any Bible study at all, especially in the book of Proverbs. We hear about the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. And sometimes I think to myself, scared to death. And yes, we should be scared to death to displease our Lord. But really what that word means is reverence, a reverence for our holy God. It means to stand in awe. When was the last time you stood in awe of our God? Do you know, if you're not in the Word, you don't even know what He is, who He is, what all He can do for you. If you're not in the Word, how can you stand in awe of someone you don't have a good relationship with? When was the last time somebody in your home, now I'm not talking about at church, because sometimes we can put it on at church. We can go in with a smile. We can go in with a sister this and sister that. I love you. And you go home and you're like, I hate that woman. Anyway. Anyway, I'm talking about in your house. Has anyone in your home, your children, your husband, ever known you to stand in awe of God? Is there anything about you that says, my wife, my mama, she stands in awe of God? Do you share what the Lord speaks to you about in your devotions? Do you share the prayer requests that you saw answered with your family? Do you sing to the Lord in your home? Now, you might not have a good singing voice. Oh, well. The Bible just says make a joyful noise. It's what it says. Do you praise the Lord when you're listening to music? Is there anything in your life that says, I stand in awe of you? That's the first step. It is the first step to God adorning your heart. Seek the word and soak it up. Don't hold your husband to a standard that only God can meet. When you are standing in awe of God, He is everything to you. He is your strength. He is your refuge. He is your judge. He is your discernment. He is everything. And so many times we're just like, my husband is falling short in this and this and this and this and this, and he's not making it up and he's not making it up. Well, he's not God. He can't. He cannot. And how frustrating for your husband, even if he is trying to obey the word of God, how frustrating for a man to try to live up to God. He cannot meet those needs in your life. We have lots of pictures in our home of our family and of David and I, and we have a lot of pictures of David and I kissing in our home because we kiss a lot. And so I have a picture in our home of us kissing. It's a professional picture that we had taken several years ago. And somewhere along the line, someone has given me a plaque that says, "My God is," and it says, "My strength and refuge." And there came a point in our marriage where I realized I was putting pressure on David to be everything to me that God was supposed to be. You're supposed to be my strength. You're supposed to be my encourager. I am down today. Hello, compliment me. No, that is not his job. Okay, yes, it is his job. And he will talk to your husbands about that. But they're not in here. But my ultimate encourager and strength is my God. That's where I need to get it. And I took that little plaque and I put it up against that picture. And every time I look at it, I remember Dave Young is not my refuge and strength. My God is my refuge and strength. Hold God in awe, obey the word, and you have a Christian life. Are you saved? Yes. Well, then live it. You have a Christian life. This is how God adorns your heart, through the word of God and through living the Christian life. The Bible says in verse number 2, beholding your chaste conversation. What does that mean? Chaste means pure, simple, and restrained. And conversation means behavior. Pure, simple, and restrained behavior. We have this thing in our culture now. I call it the princess syndrome. It is high maintenance women. Very high maintenance women. And they are proud of it. And they will brag about it on Facebook. Well, my husband knows that I'm high maintenance. My daughter went to West Coast Baptist College. She's now on staff there with her husband. And she was a dorm supervisor or something when she was in college. And so she was the head of a whole bunch of girls. And she would lead them and help them with their problems. And she constantly, now my Abby is as low maintenance as you can get. For her wedding, anything frou-frou that we did was mama. Because, and I didn't go above her, everything was, but she would be like, "Oh, let's just do this." And I'd be like, "Well, do you like this?" "Well, I do, but I don't want," you know, I'd be like, "Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it." So we had a great time. She was wonderful. She's very low maintenance. But it shocked her being on a Christian college campus. And if any of your girls went to West Coast and they were on Abby's floor, I don't know about it. So, but it shocked her that these girls, the drama was high, you know, and they would just be like, "Well, that boy knows I want him to ask me, and so I'm just going to punish him and not talk to him until he asks me." And Abby's like, "If you ain't talking to him, he's not going to ask you to do anything. You can't do that." Girls are just very high maintenance. Don't be like that. The Bible says clearly here, you need chaste conversation. You need to keep it simple, girl. Keep it simple. Walk your Christian life in front of your husband and don't be high maintenance. Don't be demanding. David had just announced that I've just been with my mama. She's recovering from hip surgery and she has cancer. And my mom, she is a remarkable lady. She really is. And her personality is very upfront. She's just a very upfront kind of lady. And going into this, I'm telling you, I thought this could be difficult because she just can be upfront. And she's also hurting and she's going through a lot. So I was like, I don't know how this is going to go, but I will tell you, ladies, she does walk with God. She's a godly lady and she was not demanding at all. It was, "Honey, could you do this for me? Thank you so much. Sweetie, would you mind?" It was such a testimony to me. Because I can't tell you if all of a sudden I had to get partial hip surgery and my whole femur replaced and I was on a walker for the first time in my life. My mom is, she is independent. She is a go-getter. I think I would be mean. But she was such a wonderful testimony to me that even during those times of our life, we don't have to be high maintenance. And I look back at some times in my life, I loved being pregnant because I loved being a mom, but I was sick. I mean, sick as a dog. And I could be mean. And I felt like, you know, justified. Hello? You don't know what I'm going through. You will never feel morning sickness. Ever. And he was always so sweet to me. He was very sweet to me. But I look back at that and I think, why? I wasn't walking with God like I should have been. Even during those times, I was high maintenance. Don't be that way. You have a Christian life, live it. Walk it and talk it. And then secondly, let God adorn your spirit. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. These are hilarious. In some ways, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. We'll stop right there and say that does not mean that you can't fix it up, because if that's what it means, then we wouldn't be wearing clothes. It says not putting on apparel, and clothing is culturally acceptable and taught in the Bible. So that's not what it's saying. It's saying that's not your focus. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Concentrate, ladies, on your inner beauty. Once you let God adorn your heart, it's just going to come out. It is. You'll be in the grocery store, and people will be like, oh, look at you. You have such a nice smile today. And you're like, messy bun, no makeup. You're like, oh, okay. It's because you let God adorn your heart, and it's going to come out in your spirit. I have three words that go with this. The first one is be respectful. That word subjection is the same word that we have submit. The same Greek word. I could say it for you if I can remember how to. It's hupotasso. Aren't you impressed? I had to actually ask my husband about that. But it is the same word that's in Ephesians chapter 5 that says, wives, submit to your husband. Simply put, and we're going to talk about this later, and I'm sure David will talk about it in some of his general sessions, but if you want to put it like right down where we live, it means lean his way. A lot of ladies, this is how they do their subjection. They move away from their husband. Are you kidding me? What kind of an idea is that? Who wants to go eat there? Did you come up with that all by yourself? Don't talk to your husband that way. Lean his way. I know in our brain, we think details. Men see the big picture. We see all the little things that are going to make that big picture happen. And sometimes that can be very difficult for us to get on board right away. I mean, my husband is a visionary, and he is like, this is what we're doing, and this is going to be great, and it's going to be wonderful. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, put the brakes on. Somebody needs to talk details to you. And that's the first thing I want to do instead of being respectful. Hey, that's a great idea. Let's do it. I love it. That is subjection, leaning his way, being respectful. And then I would say, be sweet. The next word we see in the passage then in verse 4 is the word meek. Now, how many of you think of yourself as a meek person? Oh, no hands at all. Well, we are in good company, because I don't think of myself that way at all. But the word meek means humble, softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance under injury and provocation. Do you ever feel like your husband provokes you? Sometimes on purpose. They can be ornery. And they want to tease you. At times it is not convenient to be teased. But we can respond with meekness. We can be sweet. Sweetness is not popular in our culture. It is not. I have a 10-year-old daughter. She will be 11 in November. We are working night and day on be sweet, because every little girl that she's around, except I would say, unfortunately, our unsaved neighbor's daughter, who is one of the most polite, sweet little girls I have ever met. And yes, we are working on them. But we go to churches everywhere, and sweetness is not the name of the game. Little girls are, their favorite word is, whatever. Whatever. And I'm like, we're not whatevering. You're not doing it to me. You're not doing it to your daddy, and you're not doing it to your brother. Brother? No. You're going to be sweet. I walked into church the other night, and I've been gone for 2 weeks. And, oh, missed my family something fierce. Charity wanted to go over early to play with all her little friends. She makes friends every week and has a ball. She's a social butterfly. So she is over there just having friends. And there was another little girl in the church named Charity. So I came over, and there's this group of girls. And I said, Charity, please let's go to the restroom before the service. And this other little girl named Charity looks at me and says, you need to specify which one. And I was like, I said, I'm her mama. And she was like, oh. So she had not seen me because I hadn't been there. So I didn't want to embarrass her, but teaching opportunity of a lifetime. After church that night, I was like, did you? Did she was like, yes. I was like, yeah, we're not doing that. Sweetness is not part of our culture, not just with little girls and not just with teenage girls. It is not part of our culture. But we can be sweet. Even if it's not really your personality to be that meek and mild and, oh, whatever. Okay. But you can still be sweet, especially to your man. Being mean to him is not going to change him. But when you adopt this adorning of God working in your heart and God working on your spirit and allowing you to be a sweet Christian woman, you will be surprised what your husband will do when you smile, and be sweet. The next word I would say to you is be content. We see in verse number 4, the meek and quiet spirit. Now, I said I'm not a quiet person, and I'm not. I like to be loud. I like to cheer loudly for all kinds of crazy things and get excited about all kinds of crazy things. So I don't think it means mousy at all, but it means peaceable, not turbulent, not giving offense, not exciting controversy, disorder, or trouble, contented. And it has to do with your spirit. You might be a crazy, loud, fun lady, the one that everybody wants at the party, and that's good. But if you go home and you don't say a word to your husband, but you're mad about stuff, he knows. When you're stomping around, slamming this, slamming that, slamming down the washer, oh my word, I'm the only one ever does anything wrong here. These kids, oh man. My husband just comes in and sits in that recliner. It's all he does. And your spirit is not quiet. That's what it's talking about. Do we have days like that? Hello. Are you a woman? Yes, we all have days like that. We have this thing called cycles. We have this thing called perimenopause. I just read an article about menopause, by the way. I've been to like every doctor's office from here to Columbus. And I read this article on menopause, and it was good, like, physiologically speaking. It was a good article, and I learned something from it. But the whole premise was that menopause is a sexist problem. I'm not kidding, because doctors are sexist against women, and that's why they haven't researched menopause very much. I was like, are you kidding me? Everything is a sexist problem. Okay, that was an aside. But we all have days or even seasons of life where it is difficult to have that quiet spirit. Maybe something scary is going on in your heart or in your life. Maybe something hard is going on in your marriage or family. Maybe you have a child that is giving you trouble. Maybe you have financial problems. But in all of those times of unrest, your spirit can be at rest, because you're letting God adorn your heart and your spirit. All of these things, being respectful to men, your husband specifically, being sweet and being contented, that is culturally negative. It is culturally negative for you to be in the drive-thru and be sweet to the Starbucks barista and be sweet to the Walmart checkout lady and to be sweet to your husband in public. One time we were on a plane, we're sitting side by side and we're flying, I don't know, somewhere. And there was an older lady sitting next to me. And you would think of anyone in the world, older ladies would be sweet. So she's sitting next to me, and David was talking to me, and I had to keep pulling out my earbuds to hear what he was saying. No problem. Pull it out, listen, put it back in. Anyway, she finally leans over to me, and she says, "You want me to tell him to shut up?" I was like, I wanted to say, I would not suggest that. But seriously, no, I would never tell David to shut up. That would not be sweet or content, or it would not be prudent. While this would all be culturally negative, it is, I don't even know if this is a word, but it's maritally needed. Women who have a meek and quiet spirit and are respectful of their husbands. So let God adorn your heart, your spirit, and I would say thirdly, let God adorn your love. 1 Peter chapter 3 doesn't really say anything about loving your husband, but I will tell you, if you're going to be respectful and sweet and contented with your man, if you're going to walk with God so that your man can see your walk with God, then it's going to take a lot of love. I would say to you, first of all, love him like God loves him. As I mentioned before, he is your brother in Christ if he is saved. Sometimes we would talk to our husband in a way that we would never talk to Deacon so-and-so at church, or to brother so-and-so who takes the offering, or to our Sunday school teacher. We've never talked to our pastor that way. Oh my word. But we'll talk to our husband like, he is your brother in Christ if he is saved. And if he is not saved, dear lady, your respect to him will go far beyond your sarcasm and your belittling words. If he can look at you and say, man, there is something different about her. We have friends in Las Vegas. There's a church there. There's a few good churches there. That's why we were there. But we have, I have a friend in Las Vegas. Her name is Dawn, and her husband is not saved. And Dawn is saved, and she is very involved in the church. Very. In fact, she's the head of the nursery. She's very involved at church, but her husband works all week long, like all of our husbands do. And he said, I never see you on Sunday. I never see you on Sunday. Could you stay home with me Sunday night? What would you do? She stays home. She stays home so she can be with that man And she's making a lot of headway with him. He will actually come to church with her for special occasions. I think because she loves him like God loves him. God meets him where he is. And so does Dawn. So love your husband like God loves him. But then I would say to you, love him like a wife. Your husband did not marry you for a fishing partner, a sports buddy, a cook, a housekeeper, or even to have a prayer partner. He married you because he wanted a lover. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all. That means marriage is a good thing. It's a good thing you're married. I hope you think that. And the bed is undefiled. It's holy. It's sacred. It's beautiful. The whole book of the Song of Solomon is about it. I mean, it's a book in the Bible about married love. Your husband married you so that you would love him like a wife. I was at a bridal shower one time at a church, and they had a devotional because that's what we do at Baptist bridal showers. We have a devotional. And so they had this. I'm not making fun. I'm really not. But so they had a devotional, and the lady giving the devotional said, now she's going to get all of this lingerie tonight, and I'm going to tell you it's not about that. It's about serving God together and praying together and going to church together. And I'm sitting there like, why are they getting married? Seriously, girls. I can pray with you. I can serve God with you. And I pray with David and I serve God with David. And it's wonderful to serve God with your husband. I'm not belittling that at all. But there is one thing in the world that only you and your husband can do together. Yes. And that is to love each other physically. Love him like a wife. Don't let past sin or hurt in your life. And those are very serious. And I know that it takes a lot to get through that. But don't let past sin or hurt in your life cloud or shadow this part of your marriage. If you need help, get it. There are people available to talk with you and help you. I recommend a book. It's called Intimate Issues. It's by Linda Dillo and Lorraine Pintus. And this book has several sections. And one of the sections talks just completely about issues in this area of marital sexuality. And it was eye-opening to me, and I think it would be helpful. I know it's been helpful in several of my friends' lives. And then the section over here, the first section talks about how wonderful married love is and why it's okay and sacred and beautiful and holy. And then the last part of the book is very creative and fun. So the other book I would recommend to you is called Sheet Music, and it's by Dr. Kevin Lehman. Now, if you do not like frankness in this area, do not read Dr. Lehman. He is a doctor, and he is very frank. But it's also a very good book if you're feeling like, you know, sometimes you've been married a while, and you're like, okay, we need some sparks here. So that's a very good book to read. Just remember not to let anything from your past keep you from that. And don't let anything in your present. You know, if you're allowing God to adorn your heart, you're walking with him, you're obeying the word, you're allowing God to adorn your spirit, this area of your life is a lot easier. All those little things that during the day get on your nerves, and by the time, you know how guys are, they can go through their whole day and they focus on this and they focus on this and they focus on this and then they focus on you. And you're multitasking all day. And going to bed with your husband hasn't even entered your head one time. and you're da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- Okay. When that happens and you're totally taken off guard, if you're walking with God, it's okay. You're like, yep, I gotcha. Give me like 20 minutes. Okay. So, but remember it's important. And it does fall in line if you're letting God adorn your heart in other matters. This area of your life is powerful. It's a vulnerability that only you two share. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm a very visual person, so I'm like imagining myself undressing right here. No, are you kidding? Never. That's a vulnerability I would not want to share with you, and you're a room full of women. But this vulnerability that I have with my husband brings stronger love. It brings healing, hope, passion, fun, unity, forgiveness, grace, mercy. Does that sound like our God? It does. When I've had a hard day and I still choose to love my husband like a wife loves a husband, that is grace. When he has done something to hurt my feelings and I don't give him a cold shoulder, but I welcome him warmly, that is forgiveness. When we are together, there is such hope for our future. When we've gone through a rough patch, there's healing. It is a wonderful, powerful adornment that you need in your marriage. All of us do. All of us. So, are you working on your husband and being frustrated? You ever been there? Why won't this man get in his head what I need him to do? And you feel like you're this. Do you know why? Because God never intended you to fix him. I read a book several years ago. It was going through all these churches. Everybody was talking about this book. And if you want to know what it is, I'll tell you later because I don't want to bash this lady in public. But this book, the whole premise of it, and everybody's eating it up and talking about it, was that the wife is the Holy Spirit of the home. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of the home. And he does a much better job than you do. So if you're feeling like this with your husband, it's probably because you're trying to be the Holy Spirit. Back off and let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Adorn you with his love and his work, with his sweetness, with his grace and mercy and forgiveness. And this will turn into this every time, even if your husband is not obeying the word of God. That's what the Bible says. So, how many of us need the Lord to do a project in our lives? I know I do a lot. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, these ladies were very attentive, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, how would we ever live down here without your word? We just couldn't. So I thank you, Lord, that you spell it out with words like adornment and ornaments and great price and meekness and quietness, words that I can wrap my brain around and I can beg you to do in my life. I pray that you will. Lord, I pray for all of these ladies one more time. I thank you that they came to a bonus session. That's just amazing. So, Lord, I pray that you will do a work in their hearts and lives, because our world needs to see marriages that are sweet, that are respectful, that are loving. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us all to be that testimony to this culture that is all upside down and backwards. I pray, Lord, that you will go with us this evening. There's a lot of traffic out there. I pray for your protection. Lord, I pray for the following sessions that are coming in the next couple of days. I don't know what you want to do, but I know that you want to bind us closer together and closer to you, and I pray that you'll do it. In your name we pray. Amen.